Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Glasses is on. I'm at a funeral.
Oh, sunglasses. Yeah.
Are we live? Fuck it. Welcome back to the Boneyard Podcast, everybody. This is your host, Jared Shaft, along with my good friend,
Artemis Brower.
We're coming to you this week with episode 194. Yeah. Artemis, how are we doing, my friend?
We're good, man. We're good. It's late on the East Coast. For all my East Coast people out there watching this, it is late on the East Coast. I'm sure y'all still watching the draft, still watching these NBA games, still watching hockey, playoffs. There's a lot going on tonight. But I'm good, man. Happy to be here. Happy to be alive.
Let's get into it. Yeah, man. It's a good night for sports. Really, I mean, I'm sure you had NBA playoffs to some tonight. You had the one game in the NHL. I think there was just the one game in the NHL. And then, of course, you got the NFL draft going on. So, I mean, a little bit of every – and then, of course, yeah, you got baseball, some baseball today. But it's a little bit of everything for people, right? Like, you know, I wasn't watching the draft. There's people that are out there watching the draft and hard on it. Tonight, I couldn't give two shits about the draft. Just being honest. Carolina Hurricanes playing playoff hockey. There's no better sport – for the playoffs than hockey. I will die on that hill. There's no better playoffs than the NHL playoffs.
We agree to disagree, but playoff hockey is good.
What do you think is the best then, Artie?
Very entertaining.
What's the best? What's the best playoffs?
I'm an NFL guy. I like NFL playoffs. Yeah, I'm an NFL guy, and I'm an NBA guy. Like, well, I'm like NBA playoffs. When there's real defense being played, there's real like effort. Like, you can tell a legitimate difference between regular season basketball and NBA playoff basketball.
You can tell that difference in NHL playoffs versus regular season playoff or regular season like playing, right? It's harder hitting.
I'm
more physical.
Look, I'm not here to disagree with you. I like what I like.
I'm just saying the NBA is a snooze fest anyways, Artie.
I'm not going to sit up here and argue with you. You're going to watch your playoff hockey. I'm going to watch my playoff basketball. And we're both going to be happy at the end of the day.
As long as the Canes win, I don't give a shit. All right, Artie. It's Thursday night, 10:45. Yeah. Let's get into this thing. Episode 194. Do you have a number 94 for me?
You know, I was trying to actually find something creative tonight, but I was snoozing on the 94. I'm not even going to lie to you. Was trying to find something like related to 1994, related to some sort of 94 magic. I couldn't find it. So I'm doing chalk. I'm doing DeMarcus Ware. I gotta name a name. I gotta drop somebody. I'm gonna do a Hall of Famer. I'm gonna do an all-time great DeMarcus Ware. Broncos, Cowboys legend, obviously. Just got into the Hall of Fame this past year in 2023. One of the all-time greats. I got to watch his career growing up. That's one of like the all-time greats that we got to watch as kids and as young adults growing up. So really, really cool being able to watch his career. But yeah, if I had to name a name, give me DeMarcus Ware. That's my 94 for the week.
Artie, I would bet $1,000 you couldn't tell me who the first overall pick was in the 1994 draft. You probably have a better chance at guessing number two.
In the 1994 draft?
Yep.
I mean, God. I mean, it wasn't Manning. It wasn't – I don't know. I have no idea.
Dan Wilkinson.
Number one.
Number two? Number two should be Brett Favre, right?
Am I looking – no. Number two – is Marshall Faulk.
Oh, wow. Greatest show on turf, Marshall Faulk.
Number six in the 1994 draft, none other than head coach of the University of Alabama, Birmingham, Trent Dilfer.
Trent Dilfer.
So
the Super Bowl champion.
Just some there's some 1994 for you. That's not my number 94 though. That's not my number 94. My number 94 already. I went to a Braves game earlier this week.
Yeah,
Tuesday night. Hey, loved it. I was in Atlanta for work, and of course, gonna catch a Braves game. Saw none other than Max Fried throw what we like to call a Maddox in Atlanta. Less than 100 pitches, complete game, shutout. Made quick work of the Marlins. In 2022, Artie, there was a guy that played for the Miami Marlins by the name of none other than Jake Fishman. Played for the Marlins, Jake Fishman. He played it. He's appeared in seven games in his MLB career, 11 total innings pitched, six strikeouts. My Alexa just started talking.
I was about to say, what is going on at the Chapin household where you just abruptly stopped like that?
Josh, you come in here. Let me turn this Alexa off.
I got you.
The beauties of live podcasting. Love it. Well, Josh, do you have a 94? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
I don't have a 94. I'm not going to come up with the 94. I don't have one. Just don't have one.
That's fair. That's
there's
fair.
No. There's...
And now I've lost Josh. No, okay, there he is. I'm like, I can't do this by myself now. I can't just be a one-man show. I can talk to the people for a little bit, but they're going to get tired of seeing my face eventually. Jared, how does that happen, man?
I'm in a completely different room. And this Alexa starts talking to me about fish. Weird ass shit.
That's funny.
Unplug that motherfucker.
I love it. I love it. Jeez. Finish your story, man.
I mean, Jake Fishman, like I said, seven games, 11 innings pitched, six strikeouts, 0.1 war. I mean, not a long MLB career. But he wore number 94, right? And he played for the Marlins, and his name is Fish. I thought that was interesting.
I see what you did there. You could have done a little better, but I see what you did there.
Slim Pickens at 94, Artie.
Yeah, we're kind of getting to that, those numbers. It's like, eh.
All right. Let's talk some ECU football. Getting into it. Artie, we haven't seen a guy drafted out in out of ECU in a little bit.
No.
I'm not so sure we're gonna see one this year. There are a couple guys that stand out that might make it. Mm-hmm. The number one for me, he's gonna end up somewhere.
Yeah.
It is none other than Julius Wood.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we tweeted it out, I remember during the season. That whoever picks up Julius Wood is gonna be a smart general manager. He's gonna show that how smart he is. Whoever it is, whoever the scout is that gets him, they're gonna get a steal. Dude has length, he has speed. Just great coverage. So your thoughts on Julius Wood? Does he get drafted? And if so, where?
Yeah, I don't think he gets drafted, but I do think that he's going to end up on an NFL roster. His trajectory to me feels like that of a Jaquan McMillan type trajectory, where you know he's gonna get picked up by somebody. Somebody's gonna get a diamond in the rough in Julius Wood. He's got a lot of experience, a lot of starts under his belt. Might have some growing pains, much like Jaquan did. Might take some time to get adjusted to the NFL, to get adjusted to the speed, to the kind of coverages and things like that. But his trajectory kind of feels like that. That's the name that pops out to you. So, okay, like that, I could see that guy 2-3 years down the road, actually being a name that people know and actually being a contributor on a defense with somebody in the NFL. So Julius Wood is definitely going to end up on somebody's roster. I don't think he's getting drafted, but he's going to be on somebody's roster.
Yeah, I think he's going to be one of those guys that fights for a spot, right? And I could see him – somebody's going to pick him up. Somebody's going to pick him up, whether it's late in the draft or undrafted. And like I said, he's going to make somebody look like they're a very smart man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how it goes sometimes. And we've seen it a couple of times here recently with guys out of ECU. Another guy that is probably getting looked at a little bit. I don't think either of the next two guys have as good of a shot as Julius Wood to get drafted, but I'll give him some credit. Jeremy Lewis, one of the leaders, if not the main leader,
yeah,
of a top 30 defense in the country last year, right? Linebacker, yeah, started 33 consecutive games to close out his 5-year career, 150 tackles, 11 sacks, 15 hurries, 3 forced fumbles, and 2 fumble recoveries. And let's not forget, his first 2 seasons at ECU, he was on the offensive side of the ball. So, Artie, what do you make of Jeremy Lewis?
Well, first off, I just want to shout out his career at ECU. Definitely one of the captains, one of the catalysts to kind of getting that defense back on track, getting it to where it is today under Coach Blake Carroll. He's not getting drafted, in my opinion. And he might be fighting for a roster spot, might be a guy that you know, gets a call, gets a look. I see more of a UFL type of call. I think the UFL is going to be calling a guy like Jeremy Lewis and the next guy we're going to talk about too. But definitely deserved of at least an opportunity of a shot to be able to prove himself. And just want to shout out his ECU career, because he was a consummate professional, came in hard hat, lunch pail, the whole 9. And I definitely think he's deserving of a shot.
Yeah, it was good seeing him back at the spring game a couple of weeks ago too. Excited for him. I think the UFL is probably best case scenario. I mean, other than an NFL, let me ask you this, Artie. Mm-hmm. Would you rather be on an NFL practice squad or a starter in the UFL?
Oh, NFL practice squad.
Yeah.
To me, that's kind of the same, but you're on an NFL roster and you actually have an opportunity to maybe, you know, continue to prove yourself. You have NFL guys looking at you every single day.
Right.
So you still have a shot, an opportunity to move up. Oh, no, I would much rather be on the NFL practice squad than the UFL. And that's no shot at the UFL, but we're talking about the National Football League.
Right. No, it makes sense. It makes sense. All right, lastly, Josiah Hatfield, wide receiver, over 2,000 all-purpose yards over 5 years, 1,100 receiving yards. I feel like he was a guy that was just kind of overshadowed,
mm-hmm,
his entire time at ECU. He never really had, like, his limelight.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. He had a good career. I wouldn't say great career. I feel like we always expected more out of him, but he never was given the shot, yeah, to prove it. Crazy speed. I think that somebody's gonna play him in the slot. Maybe even give him a chance outside, but I don't think that's going to be in the NFL. I just don't. I could be wrong, but I don't see that. And that's not a shot at him. I love Josiah. Talked to him several times, but that's not a shot at him. It's just I don't think his measurables are there to play in the NFL.
No, yeah, I would agree with that. And honestly, like his career is one of those, is like, man, it was good, but it could have been great, right? Like he showed flashes of that, oh man, like this guy, he could pop off. He could have one of those really nice seasons where he's like an all conference, all, you know, whatever type of guy. It just didn't come into fruition. But he definitely had, you know, the traits, he had the talent. I agree. I don't see it on an NFL type of, you know, he does, not only does he not have the body of work, I just don't think he has the kind of, you know, makeup to really flourish in the National Football League. But man, definitely one of those guys you're like, he had flashes. Definitely was hoping Josiah would have popped off a little bit more, but you know, he got overshadowed by some other guys.
Yeah. I mean, he was always the guy that was going to be number three on the depth chart in the wide receiver room. He's always going to be number three, number four. He was never going to be the top two guy. And I thought last year he was going to be his shot, and then the quarterback play, and then Chase Sewell showed up, right? And kind of took that. He's also a guy that's battled through some injuries. Yeah. So best of luck to you, Josiah. I just don't see it. All right. Anything else? Any other guys in out of ECU that you could think of? I can't really think of anybody that's going to move the needle. I don't think so.
Outside of those three, no, I can't think of anybody. Best of luck to all of them, but I can't think of, is it really going to be pushed?
All right. Transfer portal news. Shane Calhoun, we talked about him last week entering the transfer portal.
Yeah.
Announces he's going to Texas A&M.
Huge.
I mean,
huge.
Joining Mike Elko down there at Texas A&M. It makes sense. There's some old ties to East Carolina on that staff. But it just shows money talks sometimes. And it, from what I've heard, it sounds like Shane Calhoun had the bag completely thrown at him.
Yeah, who can blame him?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't blame him. If I'm Shane Calhoun and I got not only can I play in College Station, play in the SEC, and they're gonna throw me the bag, and I've got an opportunity to. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind moves like this when guys make a vertical move up, right? We've had some guys leave ECU and it's like, why'd you go there? If you're going to leave ECU, why'd you go there?
Yeah.
Right? I agree with this move. If you're going to leave ECU.
If you're going to transfer out of ECU, I understand going to a place like Texas A&M. I understand if you're going to a Florida. I understand if you're going to a Clemson or an Alabama. I understand that. When you go to Marshall, I don't understand that. And that's not a shot at Marshall. It's just I don't understand it.
It's not a vertical move.
But best of luck to him. And best of luck. I mean, we're not going to talk crap about anybody that transfers out of ECU.
Right.
It's not like you're dead to us unless you're – you're wearing the red and white in Raleigh, and you typically wear the number 99. But yeah, I mean, best of luck. I can't blame him. I really can't. And if I were in his position, I look at it this way. If I were in his position, would I do the same thing? Most likely, yes. I mean, now I don't know if I would go as a fifth year senior and go as somebody that I'm going to have to compete more for my roster spot. I don't know if I'm going to do that. If I'm going somewhere, I better be the starter. I'm not just going to go take the bag for a year and be the
– That's a very good point. Because here at ECU, he knew, like, it was his to lose, right? Like, that was his starting gig to lose. At Texas A&M, you walk into an open slate room. So
– yeah. You're the new guy. I don't care where you've been. You're the new guy. Some other transfer portal news. Kamaru Edmonds has entered the transfer portal from Havelock originally. Went to Carolina for a year. I remember his recruitment was a true recruiting battle between the Tar Heels and the Pirates way back when. And I thought for sure he was going to the Pirates, and then last little bit flipped to Carolina and then transferred to ECU a year later. And he spends 2 years with the Pirates program, and now he realizes, and I think we talked about this last week, he realizes that the running back room was maybe a little too crowded for right. him to get a true look. And much like an Omega Blake, much like a Shane Calhoun in crowded rooms on this offense, he needs to go somewhere where he can be that guy, right? Now, in a way different than Shane Calhoun, I think if he makes a lateral move or even goes down a level to a Mac or to a Sun Belt, I would understand that, right? I would understand that move to a school that where you're going to get a better shot to be a starter. Yeah. So hey, best of luck to you, Kamara. Good Pirate, just once again overcrowded in the some deep position rooms.
I completely. He just got lost in translation here, right? It was a crowded room. He got lost in translation, and he's making a move that's best for him, right? It, had he stayed, he probably would have still been kind of cloudy in the mix. So I concur.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Artie, anything else on football? If not, we can move along, move to baseball. Sure. I know it's late. I know it's past Artemis's bedtime. I was about to say birthday. I don't know. Maybe it's past my bedtime.
My birthday was a while ago. But...
It was a while ago. All right, ECU baseball.
Yes.
Ranked number 7 in the country.
Well, we
currently sitting at 32-8 on the season. Swept Wichita State in a kind of tricky home series. I mean, plenty of comebacks in the game or in the series. ECU. The bullpen only surrendered 1 run in the doubleheader on Saturday. Look, I'll be honest. My kid's birthday party was this weekend, mm-hmm. and I didn't get to watch a single pitch from ECU baseball.
It was right there,
but I was keeping up with it. I was listening to our good pal Scooter on the call, and it seemed like when the Pirates needed a clutch hit, they got it. And can we talk? I mean, Riley Johnson,
yeah,
is a man on a mission over the last couple of weeks. I mean,
38 game on base streak.
It seems like every inning, he's laying out and catching a ball, or he's robbing a home run, or he's running into a wall. He lays it all on the line. That's when we say bad to the bone player, Riley Johnson. It's bad to the bone.
Yeah.
So, anything else on the Wichita State series?
No, I've got nothing else to add. I mean, just number 7 in the country. Can we just take a moment to like? I mean, we really.
I do want to call out Trey Savage. What, 15 strikeouts? On Friday, and somehow wasn't the pitcher of the week. I don't know. I don't care if you go 9 innings shut. Mm-hmm. 15 strikeouts is a lot of damn strikeouts.
It is.
So, yeah. All in all, ECU gets the dub, puts another broom out on the pole out there in left field. But yeah, then you after the weekend, after the doubleheader on Saturday, you turn your sights to in-state rival, top 25 team, number 21 in the country, NC State, your former friend, now foe.
Bring out the brooms again.
Alec Makarevich returning to Greenville. All the storylines, all the drama, everything. We had a streaker that wasn't streaking on the field. We had it all. And none other than Jacob Starling comes back. We had the return of Jacob Starling, return of Alec Makarevich. And what an absolute barn burner slugfest of two heavyweights going at it. And ECU was able to put them down. Right? And led by this return of Jacob Starling. I called it. I called it cycle after, what was it? He hit the triple, then the home run. I called it after the home run. I said, he's doing the cycle. Somebody in the group text, I won't say who, said, oh, you just jinxed him. I don't believe in batter's jinxes. I don't believe in those. So shout out Jacob Starling hitting for the cycle and leading the way for ECU to take down the Wolfpack.
Yeah. Bring out the brooms again, baby. First sweep of NC State since, what, 09?
Yeah.
09 broke another attendance record. What's that, like the 50th attendance record
Let's put that to bed. That is not the attendance record. Like, is it the official attendance record? Sure. The real ones know that the real attendance record was the Super Regional 2 years ago. Well, yeah, 2 years ago against Texas. That was the most insane, raucous crowd I've ever seen anywhere, was inside Clark O'Clair Stadium that weekend against Texas. I mean, I would say there was close to 8,000 people in the building that weekend. You couldn't move. You could not move.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Not being biased, like real honest opinion here. Do you think that atmosphere, CLS, the jungle, is the best in the country, even tops like in Arkansas, any some of the other SECs, or do you still think we're behind some of those other ones?
I'll say that I think ECU is. I can't speak for all of them. I haven't been to a lot of the SEC. I haven't been to any SEC. Same outside of South Carolina. I've been to South Carolina once. I would say it's probably like a Mississippi State, Arkansas, Texas A&M. I would put ECU probably in the top five. Okay. I'm not going to say they're number one, but I'm also not going to say they're number three or number four.
Yeah.
Number five. I'm just going to say, I think, and just being completely non-biased, it just means more in Greenville, right? It means so much to ECU fans.
I asked that because it feels like every single game is like, oh, attendance record. Oh, attendance record. Oh, this many people were here. It feels like every single game is like that.
I get so tired of hearing the, oh, well, y'all sold out because this is y'all's World Series. This is y'all's Super Bowl. No, we sold out because our fans actually care.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we're selling out and we got students skipping class during exam week to go out there and watch us beat up on your bitch ass. Yeah.
Don't skip class during exam week, though. Get your degree. you got to get your degree.
I mean, it's like the days before, 2 days before reading day. It's not like it's not like people are missing their exams. They're not that. We're not that.
ECU got a little bit of a rep though. Let's still get these degrees now.
Hey, C's and D's get degrees, buddy. Do well in school. Do well in school.
That was a PSA prepared and already.
Do not follow in my and Artie's footsteps. Even though I
graduated. Now hold on. No. We graduated.
But be a little more focused on your schoolwork. Not Two Keg Tuesday and Wine Wednesday and all that.
Thirsty Thursdays.
Yeah. Absolutely insane. Yeah, I cannot wait to get down to Clark Eclair for another super regional, and it just be absolutely insane. It's going to happen eventually. It's going to happen again. And to be there when ECU finally kicks down that door and breaks into Omaha, it's going to be a wild feeling. Just take care of business. If ECU takes care of business the rest of the way, handles the conference schedule, do what you need to do. You got some big matchups coming up in the next couple weeks against Duke. You got another matchup against Campbell, VCU in about two weeks. Take care of business on the weekends. Do what you can to win those games during the midweeks. You do that, ECU is sitting right now with, I believe, a number 8 RPI in the country. I think if they stay in the top 10 in RPI, I think ECU is a number 8 or is a top 8 national seed. If ECU can handle their business and go on a run like they did just 2 years ago, where they won, 20-some straight? ECU does that. ECU may be looking at a top 5 or 6 seed in the country.
Yeah.
And it can't be overstated enough how important that matchup is to have a more favorable matchup than being the 8 and 9 where you're playing another really good team. If you're a 4 seed playing, what would that be, the 12 seed, the 13 seed? I mean, you're they're still a good team. They're still most likely the number top 15, top 20 team in the country, right? But I like your chances a little bit more than playing the team that is slotted right behind you.
Yeah.
So just take care of business. Do your job. Go to work every single day. And do your job. Handle what you can.
Just do your job. Quote
do your job. Do your damn job. All right. Next, ECU's at Memphis this weekend. Don't expect the broadcast to be great, just from what I've seen from Memphis baseball over the past couple of weeks. Friday night will be on ESPN Plus, Sunday also on ESPN Plus. I don't know if there's going to be a broadcast on Saturday. So we might just be running shotgun with Scooter. We'll see how that goes. And then no midweek this week. You got the 2 midweek games the following week, so no midweek this game or this week. So anything else already on baseball?
No, we're on cruise control right now. we hitting our stride. We're doing our thing. Like Jared said, just do your job.
Just relax. Do your job.
Aaron Rodgers, relax and do your job.
All right. Artie, the NFL draft. We didn't do our draft episode this year. Schedules just didn't work out. I was traveling.
A little disappointed we didn't get to the mock draft this year, but that's all right.
That's all right. Hey. It's all right. Maybe we'll do one for the UFL.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. Come on now. We're UFL fans.
That is we are not a Sickos Committee podcast. Absolutely not. No.
Josh, clip that and send that to the Sickos Committee, because we most definitely are some Sickos.
We are some Sickos, but
I'm down to we should pick a UFL team.
Okay,
Josh, why don't you come on in? Let's talk about the NFL draft.
Yeah, so the draft is, we just got to the 26th pick.
Still going, yeah.
Lots of excitement. Lots of excitement. Ari, I'm going to let you take the first pick overall. I'm going to let you take your analysis.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, obviously, there's not much to really say about this pick. We've known this for months. We know what Caleb Williams is. We knew we were going to draft him number one. My main concern was who we getting at number nine. To be completely honest with you, that was what I was really focused on the last few weeks, the last few months. But I'm proud of Chicago, and honestly, I'm proud of the moves we've made in offseason. I'm proud of the roster building that we've done to try to put some pieces around Caleb Williams. Is he going to be the next coming Patrick Mahomes? Probably not. But can he at least be good enough to get into the playoffs, make a run, you know, maybe be the best quarterback in franchise history, which is not saying much because we've never had a great quarterback in Bears history? Hopefully. So I'm happy with the first overall pick, but that's a non story. We knew this was happening 6 months ago.
True. So going down through the first few picks, I mean, we got three straight quarterbacks picked. I'm not sure if that's how often that's happened. I don't think that's ever happened that I know of, at least. But three straight quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels goes number two to Washington, and Drake May goes number three to New England. Jared, do you have any thoughts on 1, 2, 3 quarterback picks?
Drake May. I'll say I've said it for what I feel like is going on 3 years now. I think Drake May is the most overrated quarterback in this draft class. Now, we'll see how he turns out, but I feel like Drake May is just going to be the second coming of Mitch Trubisky going down the line. I just don't see it working out. Now, this isn't a Bill Belichick-led team anymore. You would have probably been better off pulling Tom Brady out of retirement and putting him in New England.
Well, it's all also about the situation too, right? Like you put Drake May in Minnesota, it's not that bad.
Right.
Because he doesn't even have to start right away. He can still start Sam Darnold. He's got those weapons there. He's got the offensive coach. Like you put Drake May in Minnesota, maybe. You're putting Drake May in New England with a defensive coach. With no weapons, I can't name a receiver. I can't name a running back. I don't know who they have. That's going to be a disaster. Like he's going to look awful next year because who's he throwing the ball to? So I think that's an awful situation for Drake May to be in New England. I think Jaden Daniels for Washington makes sense. We'll see how he does with Cliff Kingsbury. But yeah, I honestly feel bad for the kid out of Carolina. I'm not going to lie to you.
I mean, the Patriots did get a new head coach, you know.
But he's a defensive-minded head coach, so it's not like he's going to be nurturing a young quarterback coming into the league. He don't know offense like that.
I mean, he doesn't know offense, but he at least knows that he needs to hire for offense. You know,
that's true. But again, a rookie quarterback, who's he throwing the ball to? Who's he handing the ball off to? Like, who do they have?
Who's protecting him? Develop?
Who's protecting this kid? Like
Drake May's lucky if his career lasts more than 4 years.
I know Brandon's looking at this probably furious right now, but it'll be who's
Brandon. I'm sure Brandon's texting the group chat.
Yeah, I thought I could have sworn the Patriots had picked up somebody in the offseason, but this roster looks like a number one overall pick for like 4 years straight. This is, oh gosh, this is a disaster.
Now you see it.
This is a disaster. I didn't do that research. I just figured, you know, not
walking into a good situation at all. It is awful.
Hey, at least he'll get to see some Bruins games, right? He'll get to see some Red Sox. Get to be in historic Fenway.
It couldn't happen to a better franchise.
Yeah, well, we know how you feel, Jared.
The downfall of the Patriots. I couldn't be happier.
Well, if we keep going down, you know, you got Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Cardinals at 4. Offensive tackle Joe Alt going to the Chargers at 5. And then you get Malik Nabers going to the Giants at 6 from LSU. I really thought that he was going to go 4 to Arizona. But I,
I think they saw out of Marvin Harrison. I think they thought that he was more of a, I guess, ready now finished product. Even though I think Malik Nabers could be the best receiver in his class, to be completely honest with you, and he's faster than Marvin Harrison, and he's an LSU guy. LSU guys should work. So do Ohio State guys. But I'm not shocked at the Marvin Harrison at number four. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, is Kyler Murray really going to be kept up at night? You know, between either one of those guys, he's happy. He's just happy to have somebody there. So,
yeah. And then you got the Tennessee Titans taking J.C. Latham at offensive tackle out of Alabama. This one I actually really like because the Titans don't really have an offensive line. I think this is the first block to building up that offensive line again and solidifying it for the future, or especially with your young quarterback. So I think this is a great pick there. Falcons, with the most drastic pick of the night, going quarterback, number 8, Michael Penix Jr., a resident Falcons supporter here. I'm going to let you give your feedback.
Yeah, I don't hate the pick. I think with what we have, the weapons we have on offense, I like having another quarterback, especially Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles injury. So I'm not opposed to it. I do like that, okay, we're setting ourselves up to – we've drafted our future quarterback. We didn't do what we did with Desmond Ridder, 2 years ago, when we drafted him in, like, the fourth round, and – he was supposed to be our quarterback of the future. No, you drafted your quarterback in the top 10, and you got it. I mean, honestly, a true passer, right? And you've got plenty of weapons around him with Bijan. You got all these weapons. I like it. I like it. The last 3 years I've said Falcons need to go defense on the first round. And the last three years they picked 8. They've had the 8th overall pick, I believe, for the last 3 or 4 years. This year, I was like, okay, let's go quarterback. It's a weak defensive draft, so nobody was really, like, getting me jolly. Nobody was, you know, getting me tingly inside. But, I like the pick. I like the pick. We'll see. As long as he can stay healthy, I think we'll be fine. And you got to remember, new coach, new staff, pretty much a whole new regime in Atlanta. So I'm calling it right now, Falcons to win the NFC South.
Falcons to win NFC South. I mean, with how bad the NFC South is, that's very well a possibility.
Yeah, that's a real possibility.
I'm calling it. I mean, Panthers are still going to be dog shit. Tampa Bay, they're going to be about what they were last year. I think the Falcons are going to be the most improved team in the division, but by a long shot.
All right. And I'll throw it back to Artie for Rome Odunze from Washington going to the Chicago Bears at number 9.
Yeah.
How's that pick feel?
I'm just like Jared said, I'm not mad at this pick. I'm going to be honest, I kind of thought Chicago might go defense here. Just because I think our offensive pieces are already nice, having DJ Moore, having DeAndre Swift, having Keenan Allen, having Cole Kmet, having Gerald Everett. Like, we've got pretty good, solid weapons already. Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, one of those guys, Latu out of UCLA. I thought maybe we'd go there to get another edge to complement Sweat. On the other side, that's what I thought we were going to do. We didn't do that. But, hey, I mean, Rome Odunze was, you know, the third best receiver in the country. And now, you know, there's really no excuse for Caleb Williams, right? I know he's going to be a rookie quarterback. I know he's getting thrown into the fire. But if you're going to be a rookie quarterback going into this situation, there's really no excuse. You can't be that upset with the weapons that you got. You just can't. You can't walk into the room and be like, I ain't got nobody to throw the ball to. I ain't got nobody protecting me. I ain't got nobody to hand the ball off to. That's just a lie. So we're giving Caleb some weapons here. We're giving him an opportunity. We'll see how it turns out. I'm not saying we're going to the playoffs this year. It's probably not going to happen anyway. But the Bears are going to be interesting.
Bears.
I agree with that. At number 10, you got the Minnesota Vikings trading up one spot with the Jets trading back one spot simply to take J.J. McCarthy. Now, this to me was a weird trade because to me it was like the Vikings probably felt like they had no other choice and that if anyone else was looking for a quarterback, they were probably on the phone with the Jets too, and they still took J.J. McCarthy. I'm not high on J.J. McCarthy on his NFL stock. So, if either of you have other thoughts, feel free to share them. But I don't see moving up a slot.
Artie, as the Michigan man.
Yeah, I was about to say I'm probably the one out of three of us that's actually probably watched almost 100% of his entire college career. I've seen almost every J.J. McCarthy game. I thought he was a second-round guy. I'm going to be completely honest with you. And I love J.J. McCarthy. I think he's poised. I think he's a winner. I think he's a good quarterback. But a top-10 pick? No. I've never seen J.J. McCarthy as a top-10 pick ever. So for them to draft up and get J.J., he's the biggest risk. But, again, I mean, Minnesota, the one thing I'll say that's different than Drake May, though, is that the situation is pretty good for J.J. McCarthy. You've got a solid number one. You've got a solid number two. You've got an offensive-minded coach. You've got a pretty good O-line. You don't have to start right away because Sam Darnold's probably going to start this year. So the situation is not that bad. But J.J. McCarthy is a top-10 pick. No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I didn't either. And then Olu Fashanu from Penn State goes to the Jets. Now, this is actually a – to me, this is one of the best picks of the first round. Olu, he ended up going back. He was projected as a top five pick last season. Decided to go back to Penn State for one more repeat of the same thing. Now, thing about him is over his college career, he was not credited with allowing a single sack over his entire college career. Now, that at offensive tackle in the Big Ten, I'm sorry, that doesn't go all the way down to to number 11. I mean, when you see number 7 was an offensive tackle, number 5 was an offensive tackle. I mean, the fact that he's a third offensive tackle, the Jets got a steal out of this one. This is an A-plus pick, especially with him. Really, he's not even going to have to play. Because the Jets also traded for a good crop of offensive linemen over the offseason. So that's probably the best pick of the whole draft. And then Denver decides to pick Bo Nix from Oregon.
That's a risk too.
That's a risk.
I mean, I guess they felt that they had to get a quarterback. He's the last, I guess, good one outside of I'm blanking on old boy from Tulane. What's his name? Pratt. Michael Pratt.
Yeah, Michael Pratt.
But I would say him and Pratt were only the last two like really good ones left. But yeah, that's a risky move.
Yeah, and then the Raiders take a tight end in Brock Bowers. I wasn't seeing them taking a tight end there, but I mean, you have the best tight end in the draft sitting in your lap. You sometimes just gotta take it. Then the Saints go ahead.
I think Brock Bowers. I think that. That seems like a fit for Vegas. Just Brock Bowers. He seems like a perfect guy to slot into that offense.
It's a safe pick. At the end of the day, yeah. It's just a safe pick. He's going to work in the NFL. So it's a safe
right.
pick. Yeah, I totally agree. Saints go back offensive tackle out of Oregon State. Taliesi Fuaga. I've never heard this guy.
Better than I could.
Never heard this guy's name.
I mean,
I'm so sorry.
Some of these names, man, like.
Hey, it's the West Coast guys that we never get to see. We never get to hear their names.
It's those Polynesian guys, dude.
Yeah.
In the Pac-12 after dark.
Yeah. And then you have an edge out of UCLA. I'd say his last name is Latu, going out to the Colts at number 15.
It's a good pick.
Now, outside of that, I've got just a few more names that I want to mention because I think these are going to be the guys that stick out from this first round. mm-hmm. in the future. Dallas Turner going number 17 out of Alabama to Minnesota. This was actually a trade from Jacksonville to Minnesota, and I think Minnesota cashed in on this one. When you have Will Anderson defending, you know, defensive player of the year and everything like that, saying that he's going to be better than him, and they were teammates, got to go with it. I think that's going to be one of those draft steals.
He went about 6 or 7 picks later than I thought he'd go to. So
true. I think it was the run on the quarterbacks early, though, that really set that up. And then the Philadelphia Eagles taking Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo rather than Terry and Arnold out of Alabama at quarterback. That's one of those. We're going to look back on that one. We're going to look back on that one to know whose front office really had the eyes, because Quinyon tested out as number one cornerback, but I mean, he hasn't played against the same guys that Terrion has. So
true. I honestly haven't even heard about Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. I'm gonna be completely honest with you. This first time I'm hearing his name, but he can't be no worse than what Philly had last year because their defense was trash. So
fly, Eagles, fly. On the road to victory. E-A-G-L-E-S. Eagles. I'm thinking of Joey Pinto.
Yeah.
Joseph. All right.
I have one more that just came in. The Kansas City Chiefs have finally replaced Tyreek Hill by picking Xavier Worthy, number 28 overall.
Oh, wow.
Traded with Buffalo to get up there to take that guy. Wow. Buffalo could have used him. Anybody else could have used him.
Why did Buffalo trade that pick to Kansas City?
Yeah, if I'm Buffalo, I'm not – Kansas City calls me, I'm not even picking up. I'm changing my phone.
That's literally your conference rival that you've been in the playoffs against, and you trade that pick to them. You've been given – Patrick Mahomes, Xavier Worthy. Wow.
Bruh.
Okay.
That's a walk the plank.
Why would you trade that pick? Oh, wow.
Jesus. I don't have anything else on the draft.
Yeah.
We can move along. It's already late. Let's
go ahead and end this. We're reaching an hour.
Let's get out of here. Walk the plank. Do you have one already? I got a quick one if you don't.
Yes, I do have a walk the plank, and I'm going to make it short, sweet, and to the point. And I'm keeping it Chicago-themed all night. On a night where the Bears had a very, very promising
game. The Bears.
There's another team in Chicago on the south side. My God, they just look absolutely – they look like they might be the worst team in all of baseball history. And baseball is like 1,000 years old. All right, and that is one Chicago White Sox. They are 3-22. Damn it. I don't know what the hell y'all are doing. This was a playoff team 2 years ago. 2 years ago, this was a playoff team. And now we're sitting at 3-22. What the hell is going on the South Side? This is absolutely atrocious. You're making me ashamed to be a White Sox fan. Get this shit together.
I saw a stat. It was like, what team has the most wins in each stadium this year? Like each baseball stadium? And the White Sox were the only team where another team had more wins in their stadium than they had before. I'm pretty sure it was the Cincinnati Reds.
Jerry, with 3-22, man. God almighty.
Hey, if it makes you feel any better, I believe one of those wins was over my Braves.
No, that doesn't make me feel better at all.
The White Sox absolutely suck. Yeah. Make no bones about it. They suck.
Yeah.
They are historically bad. You said they're 3-what? 3-22.
Like they're literally right now, they're on pace to be the worst baseball team in the history of baseball.
Let's see.
Nothing else needs to be said. Like baseball's been around for so long. I mean, we're talking about 1800s. They are on track to be the worst team in the history of baseball.
So, if let's just say that they continue on this track and you extrapolated out this 25 game stretch over 162 games, if my math is correct, Artie, that's 19 wins in baseball on the season. 19 sure. wins.
The worst team in baseball still won 40 games. It went 40 and 120. It still won 40 games.
That's bad. That's bad. Yeah, not to mention you have another team in Chicago that's probably going to get another lottery draft pick.
In
the Blackhawks. So
my damn Bulls suck too. Chicago sports is just down bad. Like we're just down bad. I guess the Cubbies might be all right. I don't know about them.
But Cubbies are going to be middle of the road.
Yeah.
I don't think they're a World Series contender, but they may make the postseason. All right, mine is all the soft ass fans on social media who are getting butt hurt over the Carolina Hurricanes Twitter tweeting one word. The word was cry. You got all these softies out there getting upset, trying to dox the social media manager for the Hurricanes, posting her address online. Jesus. Like, get the hell out of here. Like, I get it. I get it. You're mad. You're mad your team sucks and doesn't really belong in the playoffs. But, hey, take your happy ass out of Cary and go back home up north to New York. I don't really care. All right. Take the L. Take the L. Just as hard as you take a tweet that just said cry when it's a tweet. I like when my team is feisty on social media. That's because I'm feisty on social media, right? I like that. I like that.
It's just competitive banter.
Come on. So the Hurricanes came out like, everybody started. There's some false information going around that she got fired. She did not get fired. Hurricanes came out and said she did not get fired. Cleared the air. Said they had to take her information off the website. Take their whole social media team's information off the website because they were getting harassed and getting like death threats over a tweet about that said cry. Like, get the fuck over it. Pull your tampon out and sit the fuck down. Sorry. That's all I got. Canes in four.
At this point, yeah. They have 3-0.
Canes in four. All right. Gambling corner. I've been off the sauce. I haven't been playing, so.
Not off the sauce.
I don't got any picks.
Yeah, I don't either. And, you know, it's a great time for picks with all these playoff games going on. But yeah, I gotta get back to it. This weekend's gonna be a good weekend. I'm gonna dive back into my sports gambling this weekend. I'm gonna indulge in some sports gambling this weekend.
Well, I'll toss some picks out there.
Yeah.
For the weekend, but I don't got anything right now. I don't got anything. I'm feeling. Josh, what about you? You got anything? No.
I did have something. One second. It's actually, I'll give you an update on my current NBA parlay real quick.
Oh, that Lakers game's on too.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Jokic, 11 out of his 25 that I need. LeBron, 14 out of the 25 I need from him. 4 out of the 10 assists I need from him. And KCP, one of the three three pointers I need from him, so not gonna happen.
There you go. All right. Shout out to the Variety Sports Podcast Network. Boneyard Podcast, proud to be members. Also, shout out to the College Huddle, 70-plus college football podcast coming together, independently run, fan-led, a podcast for the fan, by the fan. We're here. We're with them. Check them out. Check out the website. Check out the YouTube. Lots of great content coming out. Lots of great collaboration coming out. You got the G5 huddle. Josh, I think we got confused. One of us was supposed to go on one, and one was supposed to go on the other, and we just didn't go on either. We need to make that up. We need to get on one of those. Maybe this weekend we'll get that figured out. All right. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube at Boneyard Podcast. Follow us on social media at Boneyard Podcast everywhere except for on TikTok, where it's at the Boneyard Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to your podcast, whether that's Apple, Spotify, iHeart, Amazon. We're on like all of them. So wherever you're listening, 5-star review. If you do, best friend of the podcast for life. Artie, if you don't, what can they do?
Well, the plank.
You can walk the damn plank. All right, let's get the hell out of here. Good episode, boys.
Hey, as always, Pirate Nation, wash your hands, wash your butts. We love you. Until next week. Deuce.